I want to give you my testimony, not the testimony as to how I was saved, although I will mention that, but I want to give you my testimony with regard to the matter of being an elder in a company of the Lord's people. And I trust it will be of help to some. I was saved as a lad of 9 in the assembly where my parents were members in Southampton. And it was some years later before I was baptized and received into fellowship. And then the years went by, and as those years went by, one of the things that I spent much time in was in the study of the Word of God. And it wasn't very long before I was being asked to preach the gospel on a regular basis, and I would find myself out week after week in the Southampton area in Hampshire preaching the gospel. And then the time came when, not very long after either, when I found myself being asked to minister the Word of God in the assemblies of the Lord's people. And the day came when I was sometimes speaking at Saturday night meetings, and I took my first conference. And at some time during that period, about 35 years ago now, I was away on holiday at Bible readings, and the Lord's servant, who was a full-time worker who was preaching there, because I had to go into hospital, some of us had a car accident, and I was in hospital, and I was told that at the meetings he had specially asked for prayer for me because he believed that the Lord would use me in a wider sphere of service. Now, obviously what that meant was that he had it in mind that the day would come when I would be what they call full-time in the service of the Lord, in the gospel and in the ministry of his word. And whilst I took note of that, as the years went on, I never felt called to that extent. I used to enjoy and still enjoy ministering the Word of God and preaching the gospel as the opportunity arises. But I was not convinced and did not feel that ever the Lord called me to full-time service. But the preaching that I was doing led to an interesting occasion. I had a telephone call about 35 years ago. I was in London working at the time and in an assembly there. I had a telephone call from our brother John Riddle of Cheshunt. And he said to me, "We're doing a series on the book of Ezekiel in Cheshunt." And he said, "We would like you to take up Ezekiel chapter 34, a message to elders." I accepted the invitation, but the more that I thought about it, I was somewhat dubious. I thought to myself, well, I'm not an elder, and I would have thought that they would have asked an elder in an assembly to take this subject. What also struck me as so strange, that the speaker the month before me was our late brother, as he is now, Mr. Dennis Hinton of Uxbridge. And I had got to know him a little, and he did strike me as being a man who certainly was, in his assembly, a true elder. Nevertheless, this was the subject I had. Well, I studied it. I preached it that night. I enjoyed the study of it, and it made some impression. But it didn't make a tremendous impression just then. But as the years went on, I could not get away from Ezekiel chapter 34. And I developed, or the Lord developed in me, I believe, a burden. It became not so much a matter of what the Lord was calling me to do. It became a burden upon my heart that in the assemblies of the Lord's people, shepherds were needed. And I read these scriptures, particularly that fourth verse. It's a negative verse, you could say, in many ways. I read it and thought about it again and again, sometimes spoke on it again. And the more I thought about it, "You have not fed the flocks," in the second verse. the diseased have you not strengthened, and so on. I won't deal with it now. I will deal with it at the end if there's time. But the more I thought about that verse, and I thought about other scriptures, I became absolutely burdened and could not get away from it. That what I should be doing is being exercised about shepherding in a local assembly. And then 30 years ago, I moved to Pamber Heath on marriage. And this burden continued. I hadn't long been there when a brother said to me, you ought to be meeting with us as elders. But that's all he said. He didn't follow it up in any way. I didn't feel that it was for me to agree vehemently with him. And 10 years went by before that was actually fulfilled. But I felt when 20 years ago now, I joined the brethren who were elders or shepherds in the assembly in Pamber Heath at that time, I was convinced that the Lord had brought me to that which he wanted me to do more than anything else. Through the years I have gone on preaching the word of God, ministering the word, but the main thing and the main burden upon my heart is the responsibility of being a shepherd in a local assembly. Now, shepherds in the assembly and the flock, that's our subject tonight, or elders and the flock, the first thing that we've got to remember is this, that there is no difference in many ways between the elders and the flock. You think about the company of the Lord's people, like the company here at Bicester or the company at Pamber Heath, and we are all one. There are differences in one sense in that there are brothers and that there are sisters in the assembly. And there are scriptures which give us guidance with regard to the responsibilities of brothers and the responsibilities of sisters. And there's a distinction between them. Basically, all equal before God. All redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. But nevertheless, there is a difference between brothers and sisters. And equally in the same way, there is a measure of difference between the elders and the flock. But when a brother becomes an elder, he doesn't move his seat in the gathering of the Lord's people. He remains where he is, say, on a Lord's Day morning. But nevertheless, he has taken on a very important responsibility. So the question that becomes with regard to this matter of elders, and I want to say this tonight because one of the burdens upon my heart this evening is that there will be elders obviously here, but also in addition there are younger brothers here tonight who are probably not elders in this assembly. And I would love to think that as a result of the ministry of the Word of God tonight, you too, like I did, became burdened about this matter. You don't become a shepherd in an assembly overnight. It's a matter of waiting upon God. It's a matter of being exercised. It's a matter of being burdened. And I suppose for about 8 years after it had been suggested to me that I ought to be an elder, but nothing was done about it by the brethren, I suppose through those 8 years, what I did was I didn't say to myself, I'm doing this because I want to be an elder, and I didn't do things because I thought I should be an elder. It never worries me. I had this burden, but the point about elders is this, is that no elder should be an elder unless he is already doing the work of a shepherd and of an elder. You should be doing the work first. It's not a matter of filling a seat on a committee which runs the assembly. It's far, far more than that. Far greater than that. It's a matter of having a burden before the Lord for the needs of the saints. And Tom Prophet, our brother Tom Prophet, no doubt he's been here in the past. He's not now at all well. But he used to say, I've heard him say more than once, that elders emerge. And elders will emerge as younger brothers in the assembly, maybe older ones too. They do the work of an elder. In other words, they are exercised about the word of God being imparted to the saints. They are exercised about the saints being fed by the ministry of the word. And not necessarily always publicly from the platform. One of the qualifications of an elder is that he must be apt to teach. But being apt to teach does not mean that he has to stand on the platform. And there are elders who can adequately teach the saints of God by the hand sometimes that is placed upon the shoulder, and a quiet word of scriptural exhortation or an explanation of a scripture is given to a brother or a sister in that way. And that brother demonstrates that he is apt to teach, that he is skilled in his measure in teaching. Not every teacher is one that stands upon the platform, and that is certainly true with regard to elders. But it's not just teaching, although we'll see in a moment that that is very important. What it is this matter of shepherding, and shepherding means caring. Shepherding means having a concern for the saints, often maybe with regard to material and physical matters. Saints need to be visited, and that is part of the work of a shepherd, of an elder, the need to be visiting the saints of God. And so tonight, I just want to encourage you, if you're a younger brother or a younger sister here this evening, if you're a younger brother here this evening, mind you, that was a slip of the tongue for a moment. But brothers who become elders, they need wives. And they need godly sisters as their wives. So sisters can be exercised about the matter as well, in the sense that they can pray that the Lord will so fit them and so teach them that they will be able to give support one day to a husband who will have the responsibility in the assembly, in an assembly somewhere, of being an elder. Now, this matter of elders, what about the term? The term elder simply denotes this. It denotes spiritual maturity. That's what it means. Sometimes in the scriptures it does mean an older man. But when we're talking about elders who function in an assembly, elders who emerge from the flock and are seeking to help the saints in the assembly, when they are elders in the sense that they have spiritual maturity. And that's their character. Their character requires spiritual maturity, or must be marked by spiritual maturity. But then the other word that is used in the scripture, sometimes it's the word bishop, and sometimes it's the word overseer. And the word bishop and overseer, if they're that in the English, in the Greek original, they're the same word. And a bishop or an overseer, well, the word overseer explains it. He is one who, if you turn it round, overseer, he sees over the flock. And that is the idea of the overseer, the shepherd who is an overseer. As he looks over the flock, he looks, as it were, from the height of his experience and the height of his spiritual maturity, and he is aware of what is going on amongst the saints in the assembly. He becomes aware, and he becomes sensitive to the spiritual needs of individual saints in the assembly. And in that sense, he is overseeing the flock. There are various scriptures which use expressions which explain this. There's 1 Timothy 3 and verse 1. And 1 Timothy 3 verse 1 says that if a man desires I better read it, it's gone from me now. That if the man desires, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 1, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Now, what it means is this: it's not an office. I know it's translated like that in the Authorized Version, But it is not an office to be a shepherd in an assembly. You are one of the flock. But you're one of those whom God has placed to look over or to oversee the flock. And 1 Timothy 3 verse 1 says, if a man desired the office of a bishop, it could be put like this, if he aspires to overseership. If he aspires, if he has an exercise, if he wants to be an overseer, not because he thinks that it's some position of authority. Far be the thought. But because he has a care and he has a burden for the saints, and he wants to help the saints of God in the assembly, and he wants to do it out of love for the Lord, and he wants to do it for the Lord. So the scripture says, if a man that desire or aspires to overseership, he desireth a good work. So there's nothing wrong in having an exercise. An exercise as I did for many years about this matter of overseership. But I hope that if you have such a desire and such an exercise, I hope it becomes a burden. I trust it will become a burden, because it is too a burden to carry overseership, a burden to carry shepherd care in a local company of the Lord's people. So 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, it speaks of desiring or aspiring to overseership. So there is, in each case, there is something of elevation in measure over the saints. The very word that you oversee the flock or you look over the flock would suggest that. Now I want to refer to 1 Peter chapter 5, again looking at this matter of the position of the overseer. 1 Peter 5 and verse 2 says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. Taking the oversight thereof. And here again, that is not a position so much of authority, but it is nevertheless a position of responsibility. The responsibility of taking overseership in the assembly, taking the oversight thereof. Verse 3 says this, in connection with the same idea, neither as being lords over God's heritage. Oh, I trust that those of us who are elders, that we don't lord it over the remainder of the assembly, over the saints. It means more than that, I think. It's not just a matter of not lording it over the saints. But it is also a matter of not saying to myself, well, I'm an elder here and it's my assembly. Neither as being lords over God's heritage. Neither regarding it as my possession. We can get this thought so much sometimes that the assembly where I go that is my assembly, that you get to the point where you're saying to yourself that what I want will rule. And what my mind is and what my will is, because I'm an elder in this assembly and because I've been there for many, many years and because I've been there longer than any other elder in the assembly or something like that, you can get into the frame of mind where you think to yourself, it's my assembly. Well, brother and sister, it's God's assembly. It's God's assembly. And we exercise overseership in the assembly. We exercise it for the Lord. And so I just want to have drawn attention to those scriptures. And I would urge younger men here tonight to pray about this matter and to become exercised with regard to overseership. Now what I want to do, I want to turn you to a number of scriptures as we go through. And I'm going to look at two subjects. Sometimes I will mention elders, sometimes the flock. But I want to do it by referring to a scripture, taking out of it the matters that relate to the responsibility of the elder and the responsibility of the flock. And so we're going to begin, please, by staying with 1 Peter and chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and remaining with the verses, part of which I've read. Now, as I said, in each instance, I'm not going to deal with the passage in detail. I haven't time. What I'm going to do is to draw out of these passages one or two thoughts with the matter of the responsibility of the shepherd or the elder in view on the one hand, and the responsibility of the flock in view on the other hand. So then in 1 Peter chapter 5, I want to draw attention now to the first expression in verse 2. The first expression in verse 2, it says this: feed the flock of God which is among you. Now that word feed, when it appears here in 1 Peter 5 and when it appears in Acts chapter 20, which we shall look at later, it means not just to feed, but it also means to shepherd. And the scripture could well read, shepherd the flock of God which is among you. Now, feeding is important, and feeding is one of the greatest responsibilities of the shepherd in the assembly. I've already made it clear that it may be publicly on the platform, it may be privately at the end of the meeting or in the home. But feeding the saints of God through the ministry of the word is absolutely vital, and it's a great responsibility of every elder and every shepherd in the assembly. So then Peter says, shepherd or feed the flock of God. Now this matter of feeding the flock of God, it obviously means this, that the elder must himself be spending time, and a lot of time, in the word of God. He must be drawing from the scriptures, he must be receiving from the Lord that which he is able to pass on to the saints in the power of the Spirit of God. That is absolutely essential. But nevertheless, there is another responsibility of elders with regard to the matter of the feeding of the saints. And it's this. You may feel, and often we do feel, and it applies just as much in a larger assembly as it does in small assemblies. I haven't mentioned small assemblies this evening. I'll probably have to leave that out of account. But that does make different circumstances sometimes, especially with regard to the matter of elders. But if we take an assembly of this size, or of the same of Pamper Heath, which is about the same size, there is the matter of arranging ministry for the saints. And we do not always feel, and I believe we're correct in this, that all the ministry that we need can be provided by the shepherds in the assembly. There will, of course, be others in the assembly. They are servants of the Lord. They may be younger. They may one day be shepherds, but they will be gifted in the ministry of the word or the preaching of the gospel or both, and they should be used. They must be used in the assembly with regard to the matter of feeding the saints. But also, brethren, elders should be exercised about bringing into the assembly, just in the same way as I've been brought here this evening, the servants of God who are able to feed and to teach the saints. And that is one of the ways in which elders in the assembly feed the saints. They bring in from other assemblies those who they believe have the gift and the ability to deal with particular subjects. So don't forget that with regard to feeding. I'll go now, please, if I may, to Acts chapter 20. While we're on 1 Peter 5, let's look at verse 5. Now in verse 5, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Now that expression in verse 5 is just after the section that is dealing with shepherds. And I believe that although it has a general interpretation, although it refers to all the younger ones in the assembly and tells younger saints in the assembly that they must submit themselves unto the elder, I believe that in the context it is teaching us this, that the saints, the flock, I'm talking about the flock now, that the saints in the assembly, the saints in the flock, they must submit themselves unto the elder. In other words, they must submit themselves, not only show respect for older saints in the assembly, it would include that, but it also means this, that these brothers and sisters, all brothers and sisters in the assembly, should submit themselves to the elders. It's a matter of submission to the rule of the elders. It's a matter of submission to the advice of the elders in the assembly. So there you have it. That's something for the flock. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Now can we go, please, to Acts chapter 20. And we're still looking at this matter of the responsibility of shepherds to feed. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Now you'll notice in verse 28 that Paul says to the elders of the church at Ephesus, as he met them at Miletus, he said to them, take heed therefore unto yourselves. These elders needed to be careful with regard to themselves. They're being warned here. And they needed to take heed to all the flock over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers. And this brings up a point before I go back to this matter of feeding. You notice the expression, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Please take that to heart tonight. It's not really the other elders in the assembly who make a brother in the assembly an overseer, or it shouldn't be. Sometimes it happens. We're all prone to failing. But this scripture makes it so very clear that it is the Holy Spirit who raises up men as overseers. And it's the Holy Spirit who calls them to be overseers. And so says the apostle here, the flock over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers. And let me say this, that because of what we are and because of failings amongst the Lord's people, sometimes there are elders on oversights who shouldn't be there because they're not really elders. They're not maybe doing the work. Or they don't have the qualifications. I haven't time tonight to deal with the qualifications for elders. But they haven't the qualifications that are clearly laid down in Titus chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and so on. They haven't the qualifications to make them an elder. And yet for some reason, favoritism or whatever reason, it doesn't really matter, they are on the oversight. Equally, you can find assemblies today where the opposite pertains and there are brothers in the assembly who are not on the oversight. And they have the qualifications and they ought to be on the oversight. And for some reason, again, they're not on the oversight. And I'm assuming it's not a case where they've been on the oversight and they themselves have gone off the oversight. That's obviously a different matter. That explains itself. But there are elders sometimes, men who have the character of elders, men who are doing the work as elders. And yet, sadly, they're not on the oversight in the assembly. Those of us who are elders, it behoves us to be on the lookout all the time and to be ready to recognize without any question of jealousy or any question of competition, ready to recognize those whom God has fitted, whom the Holy Spirit has fitted, and whom the Holy Spirit has called to be shepherds or elders in the assembly. But coming back to the matter then, the responsibility of the elder to feed, verse 28 of Acts chapter 20, take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers to feed the church of God. To feed the assembly of God. And here tonight we again learn this vitally important truth. that elders in the assembly, one of their, maybe their greatest responsibility, is to feed the saints. You see, the saints have a variety of spiritual needs. There are problems which come into their lives from day to day. And it is our responsibility as shepherds in the assembly to be watching out for these things and to be able to teach the saints as required. For example, we have the situation in Pamba Heath at the moment. Maybe it's becoming fashionable, I don't know, but we have four young girls from the children's meeting and who have been formed into a Bible class along with others. And they've all expressed the desire for baptism. And because we've had the sad experience of baptizing some five over the past few years in the same position, all from non-Christian homes, and because they, although they've been baptized, they've not gone at all and don't attend the meetings, we have got very concerned about the four who are now seeking baptism. And what we are doing with them, we are running a special Bible class for them. And it's enabling us to speak to them and to talk to them and to find out, for one thing, although they all profess faith in Christ, to find out whether or not they truly belong to Christ as far as we as elders can do it. And then we, of course, are teaching them about baptism, and we won't leave it there. We will teach them about the matter of assembly fellowship. So you see, there are needs that come up all the time, and those needs need to be met, and elders, shepherds, have got to be ready to meet them. That is Acts chapter 20, and Acts chapter 20 is a searching scripture, and I trust that we'll bear it in mind. I'm going to mention in passing, we won't look at it, but in 1 Timothy chapter 5, and verse 17, the Apostle Paul speaks of it like this: them that labour in the word and doctrine. Them that labour in the word and teaching. So feeding and teaching is vital with regard to elders in the assembly. But then let's move on. There is a matter of what I call warning and protecting, admonishing. You can get that from Acts chapter 20. Paul says he knows that after his departing, grievous wolves will enter in, not sparing the flock. In other words, there are occasions when the elders must be on the lookout. This is like the idea of the shepherd. The shepherd at night would take the sheep into the fold, and the shepherd would be lying, so they tell me, across the door of the sheepfold, ready to deal with any marauding animals that might try to come in overnight. In other words, the shepherd is there to protect the sheep. The shepherd is there to admonish the sheep. And I want to go, please, now to Hebrews chapter 13 in this connection. The responsibility of shepherds to warn and admonish the sheep. If a shepherd sees false doctrine looming, if a shepherd gets any idea that false teaching is coming into the assembly, or that saints in the assembly, saints in the flock, are making themselves open to false teaching of some kind or another, it is the responsibility of those shepherds to warn and to protect. And in Hebrews chapter 13, we get one or two things said there that are very important. If you look, please, we begin, please, with verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Now, maybe strictly in context here, the apostle is thinking of those who have already passed on. He says, whose faith follow. But nevertheless, I believe that he is saying, remember them which have the rule over you. This is the responsibility for the assembly tonight, for the flock, to remember those that have the rule over you. It doesn't anywhere actually say, so far as I know, that we are to pray for elders. Someone prayed for elders this evening. But we do need to pray for elders. And that may be included in the thought of this expression, remember them which have the rule over you. And notice what it says, who have spoken unto you the word of God. The elders in the assembly have rule. The elders in the assembly, they are those who watch for your souls. If you go down to verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account. And so then, this is my second point with regard to elders and shepherds. They watch for the souls of the saints. They seek to protect the souls of the saints. They seek to keep away from the assembly any kind of false doctrine or any kind of wrong conduct which would have an adverse effect on the sheep, on the members of the flock. So they watch for your souls. But while we're in Hebrews chapter 13, you'll notice that 17th verse. Three times in this chapter, this expression, that have the rule over you. We've seen it in verse 7. Remember that. The responsibility for the saints here tonight who are members of the flock. Verse 17, the responsibility to obey them. And there must be obedience to the elders in the assembly. Elders do make mistakes. And when you feel an elder has made a mistake, it may be appropriate to go and speak to him. Certainly, if you feel like that, it's a matter that you must take to the Lord in prayer. Because disobedience to the elders of the assembly is never tolerated in the scripture. And sometimes when we're younger, and sometimes when we're just members of the flock, we can get the wrong idea. And we can judge the elders in the assembly. And we can feel, well, they're wrong. But the scripture says this, in Hebrews 13 and verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. And then in verse 24, again, this mention of them that have the rule over you, salute all them that have the rule over you. The idea there would seem to be that you acknowledge them. It almost suggests the thought of recognition. It has obviously the thought of greeting. But salute all them that have the rule over you, the writer of the epistle to the Hebrews says. And so there is another responsibility for the saints in the assembly. And now I want to mention to you the epistle to Titus in chapter 1. The epistle to Titus in chapter 1. And I'm coming to my third point with regard to elders. It's mentioned elsewhere, but we mention it from Titus chapter 1. The qualifications are given here, which I'm not dealing with. But one qualification I do want to mention, and it's in Titus 1 and verse 8. A lover of hospitality. In other words, simply this, shepherds in the assembly must be prepared to give and to show hospitality. And they ought to be prepared and to give it, and it's not always easy to do this. Whenever a brother or a sister knocks the door, it's not always convenient. Can be very difficult. But elders ought really to have an open home. And a brother or a sister, a member of the flock in the assembly, who's in difficulty and in need, ought to be able to feel free, maybe to lift the telephone. Maybe to knock the door. And elders must be given to hospitality. In Titus it says a lover of hospitality. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 it says given to hospitality. And so then elders must be hospitable. And then there is the matter of shepherding. I'm coming back to that. I've mentioned it. But I want to have another look at this. I've looked at shepherding, showed you that the word for feeding means shepherd. But I want to remind you tonight that obviously to shepherd the saints in the assembly, it is a matter of more than just feeding. We know that, of course, from the scriptures and from real life with regard to shepherds. Psalm 78 is a beautiful psalm, and at the very end of that psalm, the psalmist says of David that he was taken from the sheepfolds and from following the ewes great with Yah. He was taken to feed my people Israel and Jacob mine inheritance. And again the thought that the word there is to shepherd. But the shepherd in those days and David in his day, before he became as it were the great shepherd of Israel, David in those days, as he shepherded that flock of sheep, it was far more than just feeding them. We've mentioned that he would have had to guard it and protected them. But more than that, he had to care for them. The idea of shepherding is to tend the sheep. He had to look after them. He had to care for them. He had to help them, and he had to heal them when they were wounded, when they had suffered injury. And we have to learn tonight that the responsibility of the shepherd towards the sheep is that the shepherd in the assembly must be ready to tend. He must care for the sheep. He must look after the sheep. When he sees sheep in difficulty, when he sees sheep that have suffered wounds, and the wounds might be moral, the wounds might be spiritual, the wounds might be wounds of mind. I'm not thinking just, of course, of bodily needs. And bodily needs, medical needs, of course, there are doctors to deal with that. But saints like that, saints who've been ill, they often need special care and they need to be visited. And so we need tonight to remember this, that there is the responsibility of shepherds to tend and to care. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 5 speaks of a man. One of the qualifications is he must rule well his own house. Well, I'm not dealing with the qualification tonight, but verse 5 of 1 Timothy 3 says, "For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" It's the responsibility of a shepherd to take care of the assembly. My time is virtually gone. I haven't said enough about the flock, and therefore I want to draw attention very quickly to scriptures that would emphasize the responsibility of the flock towards the shepherd. We have made references to one or two. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12 says this: "We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you." And that word admonish is to warn you. And so it's the responsibility of the flock, and Paul was writing to the assembly at Thessalonica, it's the responsibility of the flock in the assembly, responsibility of the sheep, to know them which labor among you. We mentioned earlier laboring in the word and doctrine. But elders, shepherds, they labor amongst the saints. And it's a tremendous responsibility. That laboring is not just teaching the saints. It's not just leading, maybe, in some measure, the gatherings when the saints come together. They're setting the example. I made reference to that scripture earlier, not as lords over God's heritage, and I ought to have gone on because it's important, but being examples to the flock. The shepherds must be examples to the flock. But here it's the sheep who are being exhorted. "We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you." It means to recognize them. It means to acknowledge them. I should be recognizing and acknowledging the work of the other shepherds in the assembly. The work that they are doing for God. And they can do things, some of them sometimes, that I cannot do. And maybe sometimes I can do things that they cannot do. That's one of the reasons why there is a plurality of elders. There's no concept in the scripture of a pastor, one pastor. All elders are pastors. They are shepherds, because pastor means a shepherd. And then they are to be esteemed in verse 13 of this chapter. "And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake." And so the flock are responsible to esteem the elders in the assembly very highly in love, it means they must love them. We're of course called upon to love one another. There's no doubt about that. But here there is the special responsibility that we should in the assembly, as members of the assembly, esteem the elders in the assembly. And we should esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. That makes it vitally important that any man who claims to be an elder must be working in the assembly. May not be working outside in the world, he may be beyond that, he may be retired. But he should be at work in the assembly amongst the Lord's people. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17, it speaks of the need to honour. In fact, it goes further than that. It says that the elders, they are worthy of double honour. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honour. And we mentioned this earlier, especially they who labour in the word and doctrine. So elders are to be accorded honour, not in order that they might be elevated to any kind of position, but it's an honour that means that they are simply respected for the work that they do. But it's as if the scripture is suggesting that they are worthy of a double respect. We mentioned the fact of the need to obey and to submit to the elders. We've mentioned the need to remember them. Just one final word from this same chapter, the next verse, or then two verses later, verse 19. The responsibility of the flock. The relationship of the flock to the elder. Verse 19 is a solemn verse. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Now, if there is an accusation and that accusation is substantiated, the verses that follow deal with that, especially the next verse. Them that sin, rebuke before all, that others also may fear. I believe in the context that refers to elders. But nevertheless, it's important that verse 19, against an elder receive not an accusation. And it's very easy in the assembly to be critical behind their backs of the elders. We get mention of it sometimes in elders' meetings. A brother will say, well, he's heard this and he's heard that, and the elders are not united, we were told recently. But I won't go any further into that. It wasn't true, but it was an assumption, a perception by someone in the assembly. And against an elder, you should never receive an accusation. In fact, if a brother or sister comes to you with regard with an accusation against an elder, probably the answer is to refer to a scripture like this. But nevertheless, there are situations where it may be deserved, it may be warranted, and you're told here what the members of the flock should do, but before two or three witnesses. So if you're going to accuse an elder, it's a very serious matter to accuse an elder. Because the Holy Spirit, as we've seen earlier from Acts 20, has made these men elders over the flock. The Holy Spirit has put them in that position. And therefore, if they are in that position, we must not receive accusations against them. Unless, and this would make you think twice before you proceeded with the accusation, you've got to be prepared to make it before two or three witnesses. Of course, elders are not perfect. Elders fail. Elders sometimes have had to be removed from the oversight because of sin and failure. They certainly don't get any kind of dispensation because they are elders. In fact, the responsibility on them is by far the greater. And it's a serious matter for an elder to sin. And so the matter is dealt with there. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. So far as the flock is concerned, We need to recognize the elders. We need to esteem and to honor them. We need to obey and to submit to them. We need, in a sense, to trust them. That's the scripture I've just been dealing with. You don't receive an accusation unless it's justified before two or three witnesses. We need to remember them, and that would include praying for them. We need to salute them. We need to acknowledge them.